Welcome all once again to Dual World in episode 77. We are bringing you a very special summer homework assignment episode this week. But before we get started, just introduce our host. We have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have Martin.
Howdy.
Before we officially get started, I'm just kind of curious, Daniel, what did you think of your country's opening ceremonies?
So I reluctantly tuned in, right? So that kind of tells you how I felt about the idea beforehand. And I actually enjoyed it. Okay. I don't want to admit it, but I actually enjoyed it.
There you go, having some.
And I'm not a patriotic person at all, but I kind of felt a smidge of patriotism when that finished as well. So, Danny boy, you did good. I haven't even heard of you until yesterday, but you did good, whoever you are.
Then you missed out on some good movies. I believe he's the director behind 28 Days Later.
Oh, I've seen that film.
Slumdog Millionaire.
I haven't seen that one.
I'm actually kind of curious because I know Martin is because Martin's a movie guy. Like, how big is like the Academy Awards and stuff over there?
I don't know. It's just something that gets mentioned like when it goes on the news, but it's not really, don't really make a fuss about it.
Okay, because I mean it's like a huge ordeal. Like I was gonna say, because one of the reasons like Slumdog Millionaire has such a reputation is that the year it came out, it was nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, and usually that gives a film like a lot of, you know, like then people are like, oh, I need to check this film out, or for, you know, it's very good stuff, and you know, people want to vindicate themselves and see it, and usually it's, you know, you have half the people who want to see it just to say like, oh, this isn't really that great, I don't know why it was recommended, and other people just want to check it out to check it out. That's why I was kind of curious because he's made a lot of movies, but a lot of them are kind of, I don't want to say niche, but they aren't really what you call blockbusters.
They're very catered.
I have seen all of his movies.
and like I said again, you're a movie guy, so that's kind of to be expected. Yeah, I was just curious. Okay. So yes, the Summer Olympics are underway in Jolly Old London.
I tell you what, I want to see a movie of Mary Poppins versus Voldemort. That'd be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Is that something that actually happened during the ceremony?
Yeah, there was a gigantic Voldemort that had this girl on a hospital bed in the air, and then like a million Mary Poppins came and chased him off.
Yeah,
awesome.
Did you not watch it?
No.
Oh, that was my favorite bit, the Brit Literature segment they had of Voldemort, Captain Hook, Cruella de Vil and all this other stuff, and then like you had like Daniel said, you had like 100 Mary Poppins to send and fight off Lord Voldemort and scare off the nightmare creatures. I was kind of disappointed they weren't Death Eaters, but you know, they already had enough Harry Potter in there, I guess. But yeah, that was my favorite part of the entire show, at least from what we saw, because apparently some of it kind of got butchered in the translation because NBC had to, one, they had to fit commercials in, so we had commercial breaks like every 10 minutes, and then they had to talk over everything, and then they had some interview with, I didn't even know Ryan Seacrest covered sports, but apparently he was interviewing Michael Phelps. But
I hear the commentary that NBC had done was very not good.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of like I don't know if you folks have televised parades as much as we do, but it's kind of like if you were to combine the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or something like that and do it to a sporting event, because it's like, you know, like they're trying to, like I understand part of it, and I really hate this notion, but I know it's true that Americans are stupid and uncultured. Like, we kind of exist in a bubble that, oh yeah, you know, and I understand some of it was very British.
A lot of it was very British. I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't many people that understood what was going on half the time.
Yeah, and I kind of understand, like, you know, like explaining that and stuff like that, but I think some of it did speak for itself. But they were like explaining everything, and they would even like explain the transitions before, you know, we got there, because this is aired on a tape today and stuff like that.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Just because you guys mentioned Harry Potter and Mary Poppins, did James Bond or James Bond was there?
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna. So this, just put it this way, right? James Bond and the Queen, right? They do something. They jump out of a helicopter.
Jeez, I have to watch this. Oh, what about Doctor Who? Was Doctor Who?
Doctor Who was not there.
No,
there was apparently a part where he had the TARDIS sound effect, and that was about it. It was so odd, because even Mr. Bean had an appearance there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But no Doctor Who. Yeah. And then they had the history of the underground scene in Europe, so it was like this evolution of dance and dating via the internet. I thought that part was kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it was.
But, it was a fun opening ceremonies. I really want to see the uncut version, or at least the version without the commentary. So there's that. But we aren't talking to the Olympics this week. I mean, well, we could, but we actually had homework last week, and part of it was because the Steam Summer Sale ended, and we all ended up with a bunch of games that we probably wouldn't touch for a couple of years. So we thought it would be a great idea to actually at least play one game that you had in your back catalog. Sadly enough, I forgot to actually put up the actual audio we recorded last week telling you what games we had in our back catalog. But apparently that doesn't matter because certain people cheated anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's start with Daniel.
Okay, so I got the email saying that the Path of Exile public beta was this weekend, and I thought, okay, I'll play that. And then I downloaded the game I was going to play, Gratuitous Space Battles, last night, because I've been busy all week. And I ended up just playing Path of Exile by the time that Gratuitous Space Battles had downloaded. So I've just been playing Path of Exile since. So it's not a game in my back catalogue, it's a game I've been intending to play that's not out yet that I'm playing instead.
Okay, so tell us about this game you've been playing.
So, if you've played Diablo, if you've played Torchlight, you basically know how to play this game. It's free to play. It's pretty good for a free to play game as well, because I mean, there's no pay to win aspect, because I don't think there's going to be PvP in it for a while. It does some really interesting things with the formula, actually. So, normally in games like Diablo, you'd have to actually be mindful of your stockpile of potions and stuff, like health potions and mana potions. Whereas in this game, you get 5 slots, and you can put whatever sort of combination of health and mana potions in there you want, but you get technically infinite of them, just they recharge over time and based on like killing things and stuff. So you've really got to manage like what goes in there and what times, because you get more than just health and mana potions, you can get buffs and stuff. And so that's pretty cool. And plus there's no gold in this game. Everything is done by, like, the currency of the game is, like, you know, identify scrolls. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I play these kinds of games, I never use identify scrolls. And so in this game, they're currency, and you use them to buy things and trade with people, which is pretty cool. The graphics are actually quite good. I can't really compare to... I think they go for a lot of more realistic, serious look with it. Other than that, it's free to play, so when it comes out, you've got no excuse not to play it if you like this kind of thing. And I know some people got burned on Diablo 3, so it might be a good choice.
I still don't get the complaints about Diablo 3, but I mean, I guess I'm not a Diablo player, so it's something that I'd have to have been part of to understand.
I mean, well, one of my complaints was the Ori is Online, and obviously this game has it as well, but I don't have to... It doesn't annoy me because I'm not paying anything for the game, and I don't have to pay anything if I don't want to. So the lag for single player and the Always Online thing, it doesn't... I'm not bothered because I'm not paying a cent for it.
Okay.
But that would concern me. That would be a thing that concerns me if I was to put money into it, is what happens if the game just goes... The guys that run the game just suddenly go bankrupt.
That would be, I mean, let's be honest, even if you have people buying your games, you can still go bankrupt.
Yeah.
As we'll get to in a bit.
So, I mean, I probably won't put money into it because I've already pre-ordered Torchlight 2, so after the beta finishes tomorrow, I won't be able to play it until it actually goes into open beta, but it'll be a good stopgap until Torchlight 2 comes out, if it ever comes out at this rate.
If it ever comes out. It could be the new Final Fantasy Versus 13.
So, yeah, I will... endeavour to play Gratuitous Space Battles for next week, because I probably won't have anything else to talk about.
Okay, well, you never know. There's a lot of... Let's not even try to kid ourselves. Actually, there's a demo coming out for Transformers, I think, for Cybertron this week, so that might be something worth checking.
Is it coming out on PC to know?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Well, before we get to Martin, who's been playing like 50 games, I might as well cover mine. last week, you all recommended Amnesia: The Dark Descent. I attempted to play that, but my PC actually can't run it. That's one of the great things about the Steam sales. You can buy games that you might not necessarily be able to play. But I still have it in case I ever do get a PC that can run it. So instead, I tried Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. Okay. And I played it for like 10 minutes. I didn't get it. I assume I had to spend more time with it. I'm assuming I'm missing something. But right now, it's like you just kind of hold down the mouse and some dude walks around and talks to random people.
Sounds like a typical adventure game to me, which is why I don't play them.
Yeah, I did the 10 minutes and I got bored, and I'm like, it also helped because I gave this homework assignment and it was like Wednesday night at midnight. I'm like, crap, I haven't actually played anything yet. And I can't be the one who doesn't do it because I was the one who assigned it. I started this at midnight and I was just like really groggy, so that might have factored into it. But who knows? I did that and just didn't really go that far. But then I tried Sequence, which is another game that was on my Steam list, and this is actually a ton of fun. It is a rhythm-based RPG.
Oh, it's that game, the one with the silly writing.
Yeah. Very internet writing. One of the enemies drops hipster cotton. It's supposed to be comical writing. Some of it's kind of, it falls flat. But it's voice acted and stuff like that. It kind of has like the comic stills, which is becoming a popular way to tell stories. But of course, this is an indie game, so it's fairly cheap. So I actually don't mind it. It's a rhythm based game. You have basically three grids. You have your defense grid, your spell grid, and your mana grid. They even have this whole bit about how you pronounce mana and how some people pronounce it wrong in one of your tutorials. And basically, you alternate between these grids depending on what you need. A defense grid is when the enemy's attacking and you have to hit the rhythm and tune or whatever. It's more rhythm than it is just like matching up the buttons. So sometimes I just kind of get into the beat of the music and go from there. So if you miss any of the marks in the defense grid, that's a hit against your HP. You start off with about 40 and as an RPG, you get to increase that depending on, like your level, equipment and stuff like that. By default, it's like, I believe it's white. If it's green, it means it's going to do double damage. If it's blue, it does triple damage. If it's red, I think it does 5 times damage and stuff like that. So you really want to be careful of some of these when they're descendants, just so you can keep an eye on it. The mana grid is pretty self-explanatory. You have magic points, and they deplete as you use spells. So in order for you to regain them, you have to go to this grid and kind of, hit those and get like 2 points for every one you hit. And then the spell grid is you have to activate spells using the hotkeys. Right now I have 3 spells, a barrier and 2 attack spells, and each one has a different rhythm. The first one, the default spell you get, has 5 beats that you have to hit. If you miss any beats in that, you don't use the move, which I think is kind of scummy. I wish that you could have a way that you could miss, like if you miss like one, you did like 75% of the damage. If you miss like two, you do like 50% of the damage, instead of being all or nothing. And the other one I have is like 2, but that does just damage, obviously, and refreshes. It's just a game of like one. You have various enemies. I think I cleared like the first chapter in the boss battle, and you get to pick from 3 different enemies, and you have to pretty much grind against these enemies. And this is the part I didn't really care for, because you have to wait. In order for you to advance, you have to make a key out of materials. The only way to get the key is
grinding,
defeating certain enemies, and these enemies will drop certain key objects. The thing is, of course, they don't always drop the one you need. So, like, you'll pay the same, and like, for the first chapter, for example, there's only 3 enemies, so you're paying the same 3 enemies. I think I did it about 5 to 6 times a piece. And after a while, it's just like you kind of have it down pack, and it's like, you know, you're advancing and you're, they're not any skill, and it's just like, I just need this thing to drop. And then I don't know what happened. I had one of the objects and it disappeared during one of my battles, so I had to replay like 3 more battles to get it again. But yeah, and you don't know what enemy has what. So like a certain object, I just had to keep on replaying battles in order to see if.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's not the best way to do it. I understand why they do it, because right now, and, you know, there isn't a lot of meat to this game. Like, it's not even a point-and-click adventure. It's basically, you know, like, you're in a room, you decide to fight people and whatever. So, like, you can't have random encounters and you can't have enemies on the map, so this is the way to do it. But just kind of going through and grinding the same 3 enemies for about an hour gets kind of tedious near the end.
Yeah.
The enemies don't, I mean, again, this is only like the first hour and a half or so. The enemies don't really seem to be that varied. Like, they have different attack speeds and they'll attack you more, but it's basically the same thing. You know, it's just hitting the things in sequence and whatever. And it's just a balancing act with the strategy. Sometimes I'll just kind of take the hit defensively because I have to get my offensive attack. I forgot to mention, you're also timed on this because it's a rhythm-based game, so I guess it only goes to the duration of the song. And that was something that screwed me up at first because I didn't realize there was a timer. So like, I would have like, the enemy down to like 1 HP and then it would like, expire. And I think oh no, time's up. You failed the mission. I'm like, oh, that's grand. So yeah, it's, you know, getting into the timer and stuff like that. So you have to be proactive with your attack and you just can't play defensively and stuff like that. And then after you clear the chapter, you make the key to get out of the room, you fight a boss. The boss I fought was kind of interesting. The first thing he says to you is, I question your sexual orientation.
Okay.
And then he goes and he battle raps you. It's like a dude dressed up like a Victorian citizen. So he has like the however those people dressed in Victorian Europe time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes into like a battle rap, and then he starts saying that I might not be a white player, which technically is true. I don't know how he knew that, but so yeah, it's this really random thing, and then the whole thing is you're supposed to insult him, but I mean it's all done, you know, in the game and stuff like that. And then the boss battle is a lot more, he has like double the XP of the normal enemies, but it's also a lot more sped up. So, you know, it's a lot more challenging because like you really take damage if you're not paying attention. So that was a ton of fun. And I ended there. I have to say, I mean, other than the fact that you have to grind for material, which I think is a chore, I'm actually enjoying this game and I was surprised.
Yeah, it sounds like they've got they put a lot of depth into the core mechanics of the rhythm thing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see like the rhythm genre being taken out. Like, it was always something I said with like Guitar Hero and Rock Band. I would like to see like a music-based action game.
Yeah,
and there was like that one for the Wii and the 360. I don't know if it ever came out that Sega was making where you like use the guitar to fight zombies. It was like a rail shooter, but I don't know if that ever came out.
I don't.
Guitars of the Dead or something.
Yeah, but the whole idea of using, like, I mean, it's basically like DDR for your fingers, but the whole idea of wrapping it around in an RPG setting is ingenious. It works, it gives you a reason to play it, and you get to listen to some interesting music. So, I mean, I have no idea when I bought it or how much I got it for, if it came part of it. I assume it came part of one of the indie bundles I bought, so it's probably not the best advertisement. But I think it's worth checking out. It's a fun little game. It has its charm. And, you know, it's something different, which a lot of people always complain about there isn't enough of in the gaming industry. And I also believe, I was reading about it, it's also on Xbox Live Arcade in the games. So it's probably hitting really, really far. But before we move over, I guess we should introduce Chad, who has joined us secretly.
And is confused as to what in the fuck kind of game you are just talking about.
I was talking about Sequence, which is a rhythm-based RPG.
Okay, because a whole lot of what I heard was just nonsense.
which is usually, if you don't understand it, that means it's probably a novel idea for a game. Like if I tell you, just shoot 50 guys in a row, you know it's a first-person shooter. But this is interesting, it's different, and it's fun. So did you do your homework this week?
Nope.
Oh, that's good to know.
Didn't even see. Just straight up no.
I mean, why? Why try to BS it?
I didn't get around to it. I am a terrible person.
Well, that's known for some time.
Calling it homework pretty much guaranteed that I wasn't going to do it. That was a bad call on your part.
What would you have preferred me call it?
I don't know.
Challenge.
Had you called it a challenge? Yeah. That's actually a fair point, because if you said challenge, he would have been all over it.
Yeah. I will complete the challenge this week, though.
Okay. So that brings us to Martin.
Then it's a good thing that I actually tried out 3 games. The first one is Anomaly Warzone.
Oh, that game's cool.
That game is really cool. It's basically reverse tower defense. It has a story premise about aliens landing on Earth, and then they have all these weird towers which occupy Baghdad in this game. And then you go in with your army, basically, and your army consists of like APCs or rocket launchers, stuff like that. You buy those with money, which you get from destroying towers, and you can change up the order of your army or upgrade them, stuff like that. And then you also have a tactical map on which you can basically plan your route through the city. Because there are multiple routes you can take to get to your goal, and you basically have to think about which towers can I basically take out with what I have at the moment, or maybe I can go another route and get some extra money so I can buy some other vehicle to better get to where I have to go. And then basically you follow your guys through these towers, try to destroy the towers, and then you can use some special abilities to help your guys out. You can repair them, order in airstrikes, put up a smoke screen so towers can't hit you as accurately, or put in decoys so that the towers focus on the decoy instead of your own guys. And yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a story mode. Story is kind of lame, but it's nice that it's there. I'm almost near the end. I think I played like 3 or 4 hours. But there seem to be 2 or 3 bonus modes, which also have more missions, so there seems to be quite a bit of content.
The bad British accents in the game.
Oh yeah, everyone is speaking with bad British accent, it's pretty great. And for Japanese guys, because you also get to Tokyo, also have, of course, bad Japanese accents.
is it as bad as Heavy Rain's accents? Or I guess...
No, they're bad, but good bad. But as in, like, Killing Floor.
Yes, so that's Anomaly Warzone. It's also available, I think, on the iPad.
You can get it on Android tablets as well. It's actually best played on tablets.
Yeah, it seems to be like, because on the PC version you have to order a dude around, and on the tablets the camera just follows your convoy basically automatically, and you just have to worry about using the abilities. So maybe the tablet versions are actually better than the PC version, but it's not expensive, and I think even now it's like $5 or something, I'm not sure. But yeah, pretty cool game. The other thing I tried out was Space Cam. It's a puzzle game about chemistry.
The premise, I've played Space Cam, and the premise of Space Cam is it's based around chemistry.
Yeah,
it's more of a programmer's puzzle game.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that, because basically the premise is you have to create atomic bonds. You basically get like different atoms and you have to create bonds. But what you do to create bonds is, like I said, you kind of create little programming exercises, I would say, or it's like machines. You can plan out how would you describe it? You can.
It's very based around inputs, how you change the inputs, and how the outputs that they produce, and changing those outputs again based on what you need to get. It's very strange, and although the further into the game you get, the more patience you need, because you could have your objective done, because you have to have multiple machines set up to do multiple different things, but one of them can fail right at the last minute, and you'd be like, no, and I've got to do this entire thing again.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, the game starts off kind of easy, and it makes you think you're pretty clever for figuring out these complicated machines and how they bond the different atoms, stuff like that. It's pretty funny. Then you get to the third or fourth planet, story mode, and then you're like...
It starts hurting your brain big time.
It's the brain so hard thinking about... how to solve these puzzles, but the great thing is about the game that there's not always one solution. There are multiple ways you can solve a problem, and that's pretty great about a game like this. So it basically, if you're creative in solving problems, this is the game for you. It's a very clever game, but it can get quite difficult later on. And the last thing I tried out was Botanicula, which is an adventure game by the same guys who made Machinarium. I'm never sure how you're supposed to pronounce.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's an adventure game based around, how would you say, botanical creatures who try to save a tree. They're never words spoken. Everyone is just speaking gibberish. All is very cute, has a nice art style, very funny. And it basically ends up clicking a lot in the environment, interacting with the environment, trying to solve small puzzles. It's not the hardest of adventures I ever played, but it's really fun because of basically the whole style of the game, and it's just very pleasant to play. Very entertaining game. Probably I would say the weakest of the played, but still worth playing, I think. If you like adventure games.
And like Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It could be Poison Ivy. Okay. is that all? Okay. And then I just want to wrap up. This is unrelated to the Steam sale, but I actually have been playing games in the interim as well. Well, a game. I've been playing Almighty Switch Force, which is a Nintendo 3DS eShop title. And it was one of the Game of the Weekends that they have, and it was like $3. It's a very puzzle game that uses the idea of basically turning stuff on and off, basically puzzle blocks, and different ones have different elements. There's about, 16 stages, and I believe 3 different types of puzzle blocks that you encounter. There's the one that's just on and off, no matter what happens, it's either on and off. There is the cannon, which you have to, if you jump in it and turn it on, you get to shoot further into the levels, and that you need that for certain stages. And then there are ones that are based on weight, so if you're standing on it, it won't be affected by what you're doing, and this comes into play. And basically, it's just 16 levels using these various elements in different ways. It's a really short game from what I can tell. I'm on the 16th and final level, and this is going to take me about an hour and a half to finish. But it's a really fun little puzzle game. It's very creative. It's sad that we kind of missed a Game of the Weekend sale. With $3, I think it's worth it. I actually don't know the default price. And hopefully when I finish it, I'll have something up on the site about it. So yeah, that's Mighty Swiss Force for the 3DS. Now we get into our big news week. So much to cover, so much to say. I guess you can start with news that I guess is important enough that I actually didn't really see it reported anywhere, is that Ouyao is partnering with Onive.
Two services no one cares about together.
Well, actually, I've heard pretty good stuff about Onive.
It seems to work, but it's...
I've not heard anyone sing its praises, and I don't. I wouldn't sing its praises either.
I haven't heard anybody condemn it. That's just
but
as good sometimes.
When that's the strongest thing you can say about it, you know there's a problem.
Well, I mean, I've heard, I mean, like I said, I've heard good stuff. I've heard people who've used it say that it streams well. It has a decent library of games.
You know what has a better library of games? Every other system.
But yeah, I mean, not every other system allows you to pay one monthly fee and then get access to all of these games.
The problem is, though, is it's highly dependent on whether your internet connection is behaving at the time.
Well, that's we said for a lot of games nowadays.
Yeah, but even more so with OnLive, because it's...
Well, I mean, completely for OnLive.
Because you're talking about, you know, games that you can get elsewhere, but this time you've got the added risk of having a lag. So I can play Saints Row on my PC or my 360 and not have it and guarantee no lag, but OnLive...
You basically have guaranteed to have lag on OnLive because there's apparent lag because how the service works.
Yeah.
So basically that doesn't do anything to help the Ouya.
The problem I have with this is that if anything, OnLive is just going to be another way to... I said this on Twitter, it's another way to subvert their non-existent business model. Because fuck your games, I don't want to play your games, Ouya. I'll play games on OnLive and OnLive alone. And I'm just using this as a box to plug into my TV for OnLive.
But something. I mean, honestly, what Chad said is true. It's probably just not going to help either service. I mean, you can't build a niche on top of a niche.
No.
But, I mean, it's something. I mean, it's like the first major support they've gotten. So, well, actually, no. I guess they got the Robert Bowling Robosky?
Game. Robot.
Yeah. They got his game lined up for 2015, so that's a major get for 3 years from now from a studio that has released nothing. So. it's going to be interesting. I don't know if we answered this last week, but are any of you back in the project?
No.
Ha!
Well, none of you have faith in it, huh?
I think the problem is I think one of the Forbes writers says that he's just not pissed off with the games industry enough to bet his money on something that's not proven yet.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. You know, I complain as much as I do, but I'm still not that pissed off that I've completely given up hope. And I'm going to say, Ouya is going to be the next coming of Jesus, you know?
It's going to be a...
Let's not forget, he died in the end, so...
Well, everybody dies.
Yeah, and the Ouya will most likely before it's born.
I was about to say, I don't.
Which means the Republicans will be pissed about it.
Well, I mean, technically it counts as a life since it is in that conception stage now.
That is
but,
true.
So this is going way off topic, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of curious because I do know people who've backed in. Apparently, there's a lot of them. It's at like 5.5. Million.
I saw they had an update on the Kickstarter site, which was like, we have new pictures of the console and the controller, and it was some more render pictures and nothing substantial.
Oh, how many of those people that you know who backed the Ouya project own PlayStation Vitas?
I did not check for a correlation, but I used to pay. At least the PlayStation Vita, as much as we have to back on it, does have Sony, which is a proven
yes.
th- the Viper Software, Ouya has nobody in that category. Like, they aren't even a company that... It's not like a company that had problems in the console space and decided to make their own. It's a company that's just trying to break into the gaming industry because they feel like they're... I'm still kind of confused on their mission statement because they're trying to bring back gaming to the living room.
And the problem is gaming hasn't really left the living room, and people who have abandoned gaming on the living room aren't going to come back because there's a $99 Android console in
the living
room.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like they're trying to bring people back to the living room with games that they left the living room for. It's like trying to get an alcoholic to stop drinking by bringing him to a bar.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Chad would know.
That's the point. It defeats the purpose because these are the type of games that people have migrated to their smartphones, their tablet, to Facebook. Actually, we did not have that in our show notes, but Zynga stock this week.
Oh yeah, Zynga. Zynga's in trouble, man. It's been investigated by many law firms based on
really?
What's going on. Yeah.
You don't know how happy this makes me.
Oh, I love it.
It doesn't necessarily... I understand why people would be excited about it. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me sad. It's just one of those things where it's just like the entire video game industry is in trouble, not just the casual...
Yeah, but this is proving that evil doesn't win.
Well, actually, EA is probably in the tank, too. Yeah, nobody's really doing well. I mean, we don't have it in the show notes, but Nintendo released their quarterly reports. I think they're out to... 120 million. Microsoft lost money for the first time. I mean, granted, I don't think that was in the entertainment industry alone. It's just Microsoft as a whole lost money, which I believe is the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, but Microsoft as a company is kind of in the same boat as Nintendo is now, where they've got products that are coming, the major products that are coming, so that's kind of why.
Yeah. Even Apple missed their... I mean, granted, Apple's was a bit different. I think Apple was like... They didn't make their $40 billion. It was like $39 billion. I think it was like 38 and a half. But yeah, Apple missed theirs. Zynga, I think their stock was down like 40% this week. We've already mentioned...
I read 70.
I think it might be 70 overall, but I only followed this like the first day. I know is like... The company went from being worth like $10 billion to like 1.5 now or something like that. But part of that is just overinflation of the company's value anyhow. I don't know why they were worth that much. I don't know why. I assume Rovio is on the same course because Rovio should not be worth what it's worth. Because as much as people enjoy Angry Birds, it's still their OU franchise. And I know they're introducing
it
a new
game. They can't make that much money, let's put it that way.
They don't make that much money off of Angry Birds, and that's the one thing about the mobile scene that hasn't really, that nobody has really been able to answer, is the fact that you can get downloaded a lot, but you're not making money off of it. Like, I believe at some point, I don't know, these stats are out of date, but I believe at some point when Angry Birds crossed like 100 million downloads, they only made $50 million. If you're, I mean, that basically means that either half the people are getting this game for free, or you're making less than...
It was 50 cents a copy, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's not what it goes for. I mean, granted, Android has it for free, Chrome has it for free. You can get it for free, you can get demo versions, and I assume they count when people download multiple versions on different devices and stuff like that, which is why I've never really had that whole barometer that it's 100 million downloads, because that doesn't really tell you anything.
Well, considering if I have Angry Birds on my phone and I flash a new ROM on my phone every week... I could potentially be 52 downloads a year.
Exactly, which is why it's one of those things that, it's one of those things where it sounds great on paper, but it's not really translated into any actual business for people. And that's going to be the, whenever a company learns how to monetize the mobile scene in such a way that they make a profit on almost everything, and I don't mean by ripping off little kids with free-to-play games who have access to their parents' credit cards by accident. But actually finding a way to monetize it. Because, I mean, another thing that came up during this whole Zynga stuff is, did any of you folks remember Draw Something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, because that game's only from March, and I'm not asking if you remember it. Well, there you go. The game was like this huge, it was like this build-up in the early part of this year, and like March, it was insane. I remember when I went to see American Reunion movie theaters before the movie started. There were like five rows in front and behind me. Everybody's playing Draw Something and showing everybody their pictures. Now nobody plays it. Nobody talks about the game.
Oh, you forgot to mention that actually declined. At the moment, Zynga bought it for way too much money.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
Because I actually stopped paying. Well, I stopped paying for different reasons because my friends think I'm a terrible artist. That's debatable. But, I went back and they Zyngified it, and it's just a bunch of annoying nonsense now. Where like, you get an ad when you every time, like in between games, when you go to pick a game, when you go to make a move,
that
and it's
sounds
like
Zynga.
Yeah, it's like all this stuff that I don't really need. Like I don't necessarily mind it in like Words with Friends or you know stuff like that because, it's one move, it's an ad, wait. That's it. Draw something. It's like you pick a game. Add. You draw something. Add. You send it to your friend. Add. And it's like, oh, this gets annoying really fast. So I can see why people were turned off from it.
Not to mention it just doesn't have lasting appeal, that kind of thing.
It's kind of weird, and I don't really know how to phrase this, but, you know, the whole point of, like, mobile gaming and stuff like that and social gaming is a lot of people say it's, you know, it's a lot more social, but it's actually not. Like, there aren't many games where you actually play with the person. Like, there aren't many games that kind of use the information of people around you for it.
Mm.
And I think that's one element of gaming that's really kind of missed the mark. Like, it took me a while to actually find a lot of games that had multiplayer for my phone, and most of them are just scramble variations, Words with Friends, Word Feud, Wordsmith and stuff like that, or, you know, what is it? What's the other one? Scramble with Friends, which is basically Hangman.
Mm.
So, yeah.
The thing about most social games is the social aspect is that you're basically doing promotion for the game through social networks to basically bug your friends about, hey, do this thing for me so I can do some more stuff. That's basically the social aspect.
Yeah, and that works to a certain degree. And then, you know, there's also that inherent, sometimes built-in competitions with certain people. I'm not going to lie, at some point, I used to play Mob Wars or Mafia Wars on Facebook all the time. And it was only because one of my other friends started a competition to see who could get the most money in a certain amount of time. So, you kind of jack that up. And then the same thing kind of happened with Marvel because I was like, you know what, I wanted to catch up to the levels with my friends and stuff like that. But it's like, it goes away within like a month and then it's like, I drop it and never see it again. So yeah, it's one of those avenues that I think people need to work on. And I think the other thing that's affecting Zynga is that Facebook stock is also taking a huge nosedive.
Yeah, Facebook is sort of Zynga's stage, so...
Yeah.
No, so, they wanted to get away from Facebook, kind of. They wanted to create
their
own platform.
Yeah, because their stock was tumbling. And
I wonder if that's even really going to happen.
At this point, I mean, they just need to kind of find a way to stop the bleeding, and I honestly don't know. The next 2 years of gaming should be interesting just to see. I mean, there's surely going to be a market for console gaming for some time, but...
How long?
How long and what... Like, you know, console gaming is going to get to the point where it's nothing but like AAA releases, because that's the only thing the market supports. And then you're going to have, like, mobile games, and then you're just going to have, like, no middle ground between those two, and that won't be a pretty market at all.
Console games need to get into the free-to-play market.
Well, console games need to diversify in general, I would say, as a rule of thumb. Because, I mean, even if you would take into account the big games coming out this year, I would assume 75% of them are shooters, the other 25% is probably some type of action game.
Mm.
I don't even know. I guess Dance Central 3. I don't know any other Kinect games out this year.
Racketeer.
Fable.
How
Journey?
Could you forget Racketeer?
Fable is an action game. Racketeer
but
is...
Kinect?
I was trying to ask about Kinect. Oh yeah, that's true. But I was also trying to think of like motion games tend to be non-action related. The Wii Sports, the Wii Fit, the Dance Central, the Just Dance, the Sports Champions, what was that game on the move called? The one where like the guy on a chair going downhill.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, granted, most of them didn't sell well, but it's different. It's diversifying. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting rest of the. It's going to be a very interesting time in the gaming industry. Hopefully, we come out of this stronger and with better games and more diversity and all that fun jazz. Speaking of interesting time frames, we got word this week about Final Fantasy Versus 13.
Fuck yeah, we did.
Which, according to the president of Square, is still in production. It's so far in production that they actually have towns now.
Oh.
So, I mean, I guess if it took them 6 years to get towns, we might have a game in another 10.
Fuck, I don't care. Give it to me now. I'll just walk around the towns. I'm fine with that.
You don't care if it doesn't have an actual game attached to it?
I don't care at this point. I just want it.
So you're just interested in this for the Final Fantasy brand, not necessarily for what the game can be?
I've been interested in what it can be for 6 years. Now I just want it to exist.
So from what I've heard is that basically the game was announced way too early. They haven't really started production probably until like 2 years ago. Full production, I mean.
So is this like the Resident Evil, the Metal Gear Rising scenario where like they announced the game, show off footage, but they actually had no idea what they were going to do with it yet?
Basically.
That's Square Enix though, isn't it?
That's
they still don't know what to do with Final Fantasy 14.
Well, actually, they had the Rebirth trailer that's coming out. It's still so funny that a game that's a year and a half old, they still use an RCG trailer for, but...
Well, they did it with a game that's 15 years old.
Fair enough. But yeah, they
also
had
in light of the rumored cancellation of Final Fantasy Versus, can we just call out Kotaku? And how awful they are with rumors lately. Supposed rumors.
Are you talking about the Monster Hunter stuff?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but you're doing something wrong if you're paying attention to anything that Kotaku are talking about, rumors or otherwise.
They long ago discovered, hey, we can say whatever the fuck we want as long as we say it's a rumor.
Well, you can do that with anything, really, but yeah, Kotaku, I think the problem with
We're talking about a gaming blog that reviews McDonald's food products.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
Jesus. I don't know if they review, I remember, they had that whole thing, like, how much, like, McDonald's Happy Meals would cost, and it was some really, they have some really stupid articles.
They have a whole tag dedicated to reviewing like fast food and stuff.
Basically,
they have.
There you go. McDonald's cone, the snack taku review.
Guess what? It's shit. Move along.
Basically, they have no editorial control, or I don't know, someone who checks things in any kind of way.
Well, they have people.
No, they do. But those people that check are more interested in getting hits than creating good content.
Yeah, and writing about video games.
Exactly.
That's the problem with a lot of the major sites, is that they'll a lot of the websites, and this is something that's really become predominant this year, a lot of the websites tend to use very sensationalist headlines because that draws attention, and if you use it, that's what gets posted on like GAF or N4G, and that gets, you know, it gets spread around the internet really fast, and that makes you a hot commodity. I was listening to A4K, and they called out MCUK, which is a website that's really known for using very sensationalist headlines, or what a lot of people do, and it really drives me crazy. If you take a quote that somebody says, you remove any context, and you like, quote one word so that people know it's a quote, and you just kind of dance it around something that makes it look like it's a much bigger deal than it is.
Yeah.
It's just awful, awful practices that really need to stop.
And they won't.
And it won't, because it gets them hits, and it gets people talking about their website. And at the end of the day, a lot of these people aren't concerned with journalistic integrity or anything. They're just concerned with, oh, people are coming to our websites. This is good. This is what we need.
And honestly, if I were in their position, I'd probably do the same goddamn thing.
Oh, yeah, I would too. I mean, actually, that's not true, because I've tested this before, and I know that it's easy to draw people to your website if you just want to go negative, especially if you just take an angle on a certain company and just, like, drive it into the nail as much as possible, because you'll have the weekend warriors who come and support. but it's not. It kills your story after a while when you realize what you're doing and you're just doing it to piss off people. There's no fun in it. I don't mind pissing off people, but I'd rather do it for my own amusement, not just because I want to get hits.
Basically, I wish the utopia that the newsroom presents me every week was real.
I assume the news has not necessarily been corrupted, but it's a lot harder nowadays when you live in the internet age where like you want to be first, because if you're second or third, it doesn't matter. Somebody else has it covered. I mean, what Kotaku offers generally is an opportunity to be first and then for somebody else to come along and correct them or for them to get called out. So it's a double win for people. We mentioned in passing, the Monster Hunter stuff where somebody was watching the trailer of Monster Hunter.
No. It was screenshots taken with fraps from some PC game, which seems to be a Chinese Monster Hunter knockoff at this point. And basically, what they had was a Vita with a picture of the Vita supposedly running a Monster Hunter on it, but it was just a screenshot displayed on the Vita from this Chinese knockoff.
Oh dear.
And Kotaku
fell for that.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I would have been told if I was in charge.
And here's the thing, and this is what really pisses me off. If they don't really, this happened before with the Justin McElroy thing on The Verge. They don't really own up to it. It's just like, haha, the internet tricked us again. We're sorry. Like, it's not the internet's job to trick you. It's your job as journalists to double check these things before you run it.
Yeah.
And it's easy. They just want to pass the buck to anybody but themselves.
It makes me think, is it so easy to fool those guys? I could produce rumors, like, every day.
And you could. You could. There is one of my favorite pictures that gets posted all the time is on Gaff. There's like a picture of the Kotaku newsroom where it's just like two hippos and like one just at a computer and like everything's like breaking. So they just could go type up whatever comes out. And again, as long as you stick rumor or speculation or we heard it through the grapevine or whatever, it counts. Or you can't be held accountable. Oh, we're not actually saying this is true. We're just saying we heard it.
I also hear a lot of things.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny because I also see it, especially since I follow the Wii U speculation thread. It's like you'll get posts in there who kind of have like some some backstage information and stuff like that. And they'll just kind of tease it, and then you'll have like news sites running like, oh my gosh, two major Wii U titles in development by unknown developers. It's like, that's not a rumor. It's some guy on a forum talking, and you're running it like it's a major piece. So, yeah. That's our rant for gaming journalism this week. But yes, the gist of the story is Final Fantasy XIII isn't officially canceled. And actually, I believe the president of Square kind of made fun of them for that, but not in such a serious way that it was like, haha.
Also, still no release date.
Still no release date. No, somebody pointed out, this is the best way to go about it. If you want an update on a game, start a rumor that it's canceled. And then somebody will come out and confirm that it's still in development.
So
unless that game's Half-Life
3.
Because I think it worked with the Asgardian as well.
Yeah.
I think
it also worked with that Human Head game. What was it called again? Prey 2.
Oh. And it worked with Overstrike after E3, where EA's like it's still being developed. They wanted to reveal it sometime over the summer. But yeah, so if you want information on your favorite game that hasn't had an update in a while, just start a rumor that it's been cancelled. Like, I'm sure Bioshock Infinite has been cancelled as of this weekend.
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
Probably on Kotaku. So, yes. Also, sales of Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, 120,000 in its first week.
So that's more than the last three versions of Tony Hawk games have sold combined, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I'm sure it did better than Ride and whatever the Ride sequel was called.
But it's not hard to sell 5 copies.
See, the funny thing is, I started saying that like a joke, and then halfway through I realized, fuck, that's probably actually true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Ride doing something like 60,000 across like 4 platforms when it first came out.
Guys, do you even know there was a sequel to Ride?
Yeah, I knew of it, but I didn't know the name. It's Shred. And, yeah, I think at Shred at that point they would just say, crap, we have all these skateboards, we have to try to sell them again.
The thing is, since Activision actually announced the sales so early, I guess they are pretty happy with it.
Well, actually, I was about to say, it's actually been a remarkable year for Xbox Live Arcade titles, because, I mean, we've had, Trials 2, Minecraft, all of these games that are doing, like, record numbers are doing really big numbers during their opening week. I mean, some of these are doing better than some of the games that come out on retail this year.
It doesn't really surprise me, to be honest.
People don't want to dump down $60 on a game anymore.
It's really attractive to see a game which can probably get me like 5 to 8 hours of gameplay, which is basically just as fun as all these $60 titles, and I just pay 10 to 15 for them.
Yeah, and it really encourages like impulse buying, because like if you want to buy a retail game, it's not like you can just say, oh, I'm in the mood for a game, and just go to your store in your house. But here, it's like, oh, I'm in the mood for something, pop on Xbox Live or PSN and see what's new, or see what's on discount.
And a game like Trials or Minecraft are kind of incredible value. They are basically infinite gameplay time. I mean, Trials has a map editor, even. Minecraft is just kind of open-ended. So, it's incredible value if you think about it.
And none of them are Fez, so...
That's it off pretty well, I think. It's like 100k?
Oh, it sold well. It sold well. Apparently not well enough for them to make a patch, but it sold well.
Of course not. But we talked about it last week.
Yeah. I just wanted to make fun of them again, because why not?
Sure. Fair enough.
So there's that.
And
on the other end, and this is always a downer, but it happens, we had news of several companies with layoffs this week, as always. Microsoft has laid off people, but they aren't closing down, if I'm not mistaken, their Vancouver branch.
I think they are just having like a skeleton crew, so they can still support MS Flight, I think.
Okay, so nothing major, which is really odd, because you would think, at some point, you would think they just moved them over to Xbox development or something.
And what's really sad is that MS Flight just launched in, like, February, and the game is basically dead now. They're not going to produce any new content for it.
Well, what can you do? That happens. I mean, look at Kingdoms of Amalur, and I think there was some word about that, there being a potential sequel to that, but that was before the company...
Well, it was going to be an MMO, so...
Which is still apparently
happening.
Anymore. Oh, it's not?
Really? No,
I thought it
was. The company is dead. No. I'm confused. I'll be really surprised if it's still happening.
Last I heard that was that it was still happening, but I'm so far out of touch, so you're probably right.
It's dead.
I haven't heard anything for a while, so...
Okay. Warner Seattle, which I think was Mayunuth? The people behind the Fear games?
Yeah,
they face layoffs as well. I don't know if the studio's been closed.
No, they've got games. They're still making. They've got a game coming. The Lord of the Rings MOBA coming out. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're the Monolith guys. You mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were spoiled into. I think it's like Warner Seattle. I didn't even know when Warner became such a major company. But I guess they've just been swallowing up little companies that they've
It's been fairly
with.
Recently that Warner become a games, big games thing.
Yeah, them and Disney kind of snuck up on everybody.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me sad if that's really the Monolith guys. I didn't even know that they were renamed. So that's why we're like, Warner Seattle? Who is that? But Monolith had actually made quite a few good titles, and I was already kind of sad that they were just relegated to doing all these downloadable titles, and now getting hit with layoffs? I don't know. Future doesn't look too bright for them.
Future doesn't look too bright for a lot of people. Actually, come to think of it, a friend of mine worked at Capcom Vancouver. I think they had layoffs recently as well. I think not this week, the week before. It's not a good time. And part of it, I just assume, is like this industry transition. And the problem is that, and you know, everybody says like, you know, it's part of the natural flow of the industry and stuff, but it's that with getting stuff taken out, but it's not really coming back in elsewhere. Like, you don't see a lot of these companies that kind of go under, and then, like, you know, like, you would think generally, like two or three new studios would open up and they'll focus on stuff, but it's either they go on mobile or they just kind of ditch the industry as a whole. So we're using a lot of talented people. So the transition into next gen should be interesting. And finally, it was Vethra?
Vatra, I would think.
I don't know. The people behind Silent Hill Downpour?
Yeah.
Are being examined for possible closure. I assume because Silent Hill Downpour set the world on fire with sales.
Yeah, I know. Loads of people were so excited for that game.
The Donald title we did before that, Russian Attack, did also not really do well. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it's always hard, but sometimes you kind of look at these companies, like, you know, some of them, it's a surprise they acted this long, but it's never a good thing. It's also sometimes just mismanagement. I mean, Konami hasn't really done well with the Silent Hill license this generation.
Konami doesn't even know what to do with the Silent Hill franchise. At least that's my impression.
And that may very well be the case. I mean, it's really hard to maintain a horror franchise. Resident Evil is not really horror. Dead Space is not co-op.
I would probably be happy if they would just let Silent Hill die.
Yeah, but
it's not really pretty what they're doing with it.
But it's not often. It's really hard for people to let brands die. If anything, you'll see Silent Hill go missing for a year or two, and then like a reboot of the franchise or something. Speaking of, there's actually a movie coming out this year as well.
What?
Yeah, there's also a trailer, but I did not watch it.
So, for all you horror buffs out there, there's a Silent Hill and a Resident Evil movie out this year.
Oh, implying the Resident Evil movie is going to be a horror film.
It looks awful.
That's horrific enough for me.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I find the idea of a Resident Evil movie to be terrifying.
Especially since they keep on pouring these damn things out.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
There's a big monstrous Resident Evil somewhere that keeps spawning them. We have to find it and kill it. That will be the plot of the next movie.
So I think that's it for news this week. You folks have anything else to add? It was a really slow week for news. Okay.
It's the summer.
Yeah, really quickly, I don't know how this is going to work out, to be honest with you. I just thought of it this morning, half awake, half drunk, hungover, or whatever. I set up a Farm Spring, if you remember that site from last year when it was hot.
Was it ever hot?
It was big ass somewhere. A lot of people used to use it.
Okay, carry on.
And, yeah, basically we set it up so that people can send us in questions throughout the week or whatever, gaming-related. Mostly gaming-related, I honestly don't care, but... we got like three questions this morning, so I figured we'll see how that goes. This comes from Daniel Switzer. Be honest, have you ever complained or made a criticism against a game you have never played and then proceeded to express that on an internet gaming forum?
Yep.
Of course I have. And it turned out I was right when I went and played the game.
I do it religiously.
Fair enough. I will say the only game I can think, the only franchise I can really think of that I make fun of that I don't say is Call of Duty. But I've
if you've played one in the last 5 years, you've played all of them in the last five
and that,
years.
So. That's what I was going to say, is I've played 2, 3, and 4, so I have a pretty good idea of what I'm getting into. Granted, you know, like people say, oh, it's different in this regard and it's different in that regard, but yeah, I've played enough Call of Duty to know I'm not huge into them, and I honestly don't see what has evolved about them. I will say that Spec Ops mode is kind of fun, and zombies. Actually, I guess I misspoke. I actually played Black Ops 2 recently. Oh, Black Ops, I should say. So there's that.
The thing with me is I've been playing games for, like, I don't know, 20 years now. On some level, you kind of can judge some games on some levels without even having played them, because you know if you will like something or not. So, of course,
well,
I have.
I think there's a difference between being able to say that I don't like something or I won't like something and actually going out of your way to badmouth it.
Okay, then that's not really something I've ever done, I think.
Yeah, there are games that I know I won't like, but I don't necessarily talk about it. It's one of those things that's always driven me mad. It's like when people have to constantly remind you that they're not a fan of something. It's okay to say...
So would you say you're just not a fan of it in general? When people do that?
yes, exactly. Just like that.
Me, saying every time, No More Heroes is an awful, awful game.
I will knife you, I swear to God.
Oh, there you go. See? Next question. Are you the
type... question has torn apart the crew. I hope you're happy.
Are you the type to rage quit, or do you graciously accept defeat?
I never rage quit.
I always rage quit. I take it to extreme where I don't just say leave the match or something. I will stop playing the game entirely. Rage quit. I've done it many times, and I will continue to do it.
I semi rage quit. The only game I really do it is in Halo, because for the life of me, I still don't know why they haven't added the ability for people to join you mid game, but it drives me nuts. 9 out of 10 times I play a game with my friend, we'll play any type of team game, and chances are half our team will quit on us.
You know what it's like playing League of Legends. One guy will quit every game you play, and it's just like, well, great, because we've got no chance now.
Yeah, it's basically, we'll get to, we've had games like a big team battle where it turns out to be like 3 versus 8. At some point, it's just not fun anymore because you have no chance because they'll have like 3 snipers, a rocket launcher.
But that's not really rage quitting.
But
at an obvious disadvantage. If you're, rage quitting is more like playing a fighting game and being like really bad compared to the other player and just... I'm not dealing with this. I just pull the cable out so I don't lose a game, or I don't know. That's rage quitting, and I just don't do that because I'm bad. I take my loss.
Yeah, just to say, I've never actually pulled out my internet connection or something, or turned off a game because I was losing.
I do all the time. I used to do all the time in League of Legends. It got to a point where I couldn't, like, I'll be 2 minutes into the game and somebody on my team will die. The other team will get first blood, and it'll be against my team. And I'm just like, well, fuck this game. I'm not playing this anymore. And I'll right-click the icon in the taskbar and click close, and then I uninstalled the game that day, and I haven't installed it since.
Really, you go far out when you get upset.
Well, it's really bad. I can't stand League of Legends. I can't stand any game like it anymore.
maybe
you have to pay me to get me to play it.
Well, I was about to say, if you play with people you trust and know, maybe that would work out better.
It doesn't. Because it doesn't. Because I just hate that. There are certain aspects about League of Legends that I hate so much that I just can't deal with it anymore. I don't like the genre of games, but I feel compelled to play them because everybody else I know plays them, which is upsetting.
I've never felt compelled to play a game that everybody else plays. If anything, it kind of turns me off when I don't get it. I still don't
get
it.
It's not that I don't get it. It's fine. They piss me off so much. And I kind of feel left out if I'm sitting here playing, I know, something that isn't League of Legends, and everyone else is playing League of Legends without me.
Anyone else get a feeling that Daniel sounds like someone who's in, like, an abusive relationship?
Well, I mean, I think out of us are abusive relationships with video games. I mean, we kind of put up with a lot of the nonsense that they've given us this generation: online passes, DLC, paid map packs, patches, having to take 3 hours to install a game on your PS3, whatever Nintendo's not doing this week, and all that fun jazz. And final question, which hope you won't get as heated. Pac-Man versus Miss Pac-Man.
The character or the games?
Either or.
Huh.
There is no Miss Pac-Man Championship Edition DX, so Pac-Man wins this one.
Fair enough.
When I go with character, I would say Pac-Man. With games, Miss Pac-Man.
I'm going to use Daniel's logic because Pac-Man Championship Edition. Actually, that, and I actually got to check out Pac-Man Battle Royale, which is awesome. And I am
question does not mention Championship Edition. It just says Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man.
But is that not part of
games?
Is it not Pac-Man? I mean, it has Pac-Man in the title. But yeah, I was I do not. Why is Pac-Man Battle Royale not on any arcade service?
No idea.
Couldn't tell you.
Honestly, if I any company, I mean, but I assume Nintendo has the easier rights for this. I bundle Pac-Man Championship Edition, Pac-Man Versus, and Pac-Man Battle Royale, $15. I'm sure everybody would buy it. It's a fantastic experience. Mm. But yes, Chad.
Obviously Pac-Man, because he's way more chill. You know Miss Pac-Man's going to bitch at you like 90% of the time about whatever's going on. I don't have time for that shit. Pac-Man all the way.
I was going to say something, but that's going to be bad.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you think you'd want a chick who swallows, but...
Whoa.
Anyhow, like I said...
Well played.
We have... Okay, I don't know if we have any homework assignment for next week, or quote-unquote challenge. Just go with challenge.
Yeah.
Actually, since... I think we all... Well, actually, no. We don't all have access to Xbox 360s.
You bastard.
Oh, I don't... I was going to say we should...
Some of us don't have access out of choice.
Yeah, I was going to say that we could do... betas and demos next week.
I could do that.
Because I have access to the Big Fanic Harding beta, the Transformers Fall of Cybertron demo hits this week, the 31st.
Deadlight should be out next week.
So, yeah.
I've got a couple of betas on Steam.
Yeah, that's what we'll do next week. Our challenge for this week is to play at least one beta or demo if you have access to it. And if Chad wants, I still have some DUS514 beta codes if you want that. Because honestly, I can't give those away. I've had 3 fake a week and I've asked everybody on Twitter. Nobody wants it.
There's a reason for that.
I know, I faded.
It's probably because I told everyone that it's shit.
Yeah, but that's another game that counts. And if by some chance I get access to the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale beta, I so want to try that out.
Maybe I will try to acquire a key as well.
I will sell Chad's firstborn.
You're going to be waiting a long fucking time for that payoff.
Then I'm good for that. It doesn't affect me. I mean.
I'm going to sell his StarCraft 2 account.
I got an extra, go ahead.
So yes, you can check us out on Twitter. We're trying to be more active. I'm trying to be more active on that. We're on Facebook, now on Forum Spring. You can catch us on iTunes and all these fun podcast places. Leave reviews and comments and thoughts and dance around with your hands. And we'll be back next week with impressions of betas and demos and beers. Oh my. So, for Daniel, Martin, and Chad, this has been Dual World in episode 77.
See ya.